This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being able to be in this position, being able to have a first year the way I did, ups and downs, and then to be able to come in here, be as confident as I was last year, or possibly even more, and to be able to get here with the group that we have, I really can't wait to get to work with these guys. We got a good group of guys, personality wise, and then obviously talent wise, it speaks for itself.
We know that's Caleb Williams, and this is Raheemian Harris on the Score. Mark Grody in for Marshall Harris as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The question was asked, submitted by Ray Diaz in honor of Steve Rosenblum, our friend Rosie, a.k.a. the blowtorch of Saturdays in your life.
The Wake and Baker.
Yeah, and weren't you on with Rosie this weekend?
Yeah, I was. I was. Yeah, I was. I actually answered the question. So, yes, Steve Rosenblum. He and I are the founding fathers of Saturday Suckage and the Wake and Bake Club. You know the history of the Wake and Bake Club?
I mean, I know what it is, but I know he talks about it. Well, I, too, understand Saturday Suckage,
Yeah.
But it's a mindset. It's a lifestyle.
WB, though, is not necessarily because Steve and I wake up smoking weed. It's because one day, years and years ago, well before it was legal to smoke marijuana in the city of Chicago, somebody called us and told us that there was like pounds and pounds of weed. There was a shortage on weed in the city. And we got people calling us and going, hey, what happened? We heard that there's a shortage of weed on the show. So we found out that day that we had a lot of Wake and Bake. Because it was like a four alarm fire to the stoners in the city of Chicago when we reported that.
Here's the
Smoke
thing.
Weed every day.
Right.
Somebody had to break code at that point to report about this. So it got serious enough to where somebody thought, laws be damned, I'm going to mention this and do so in a way that was disseminated as somehow news.
Yes, it was. It was like news. And then you had people who maybe, were just casual listeners who picked up the phone and called. I remember our producer, Dave White, is his name. He was taking all these calls from people and he was getting all frustrated because all these people are calling about this shortage of weed in the city of Chicago. And so that day, the Wake and Bake Club was born. And it still exists to this day.
Yeah, because Rosie is way too fired up to be on any sort of thing that implies calm.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But he's got that California cool in him, too.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Cali kid, you know?
I think he wore a Death Row Records shirt the last time I saw him. So shout out to Steve Rosenblum. But the question is, if the Bears have a Bengals-like season, a.k.a. the team we lovingly refer to as Bears 2...
Bears too.
And go 9-8 without making the playoffs. Would that be acceptable?
By the way, Bears 2 did draft Tyler Warren. They drafted Tyler Warren.
So, Bears 2 is also having cheerleading tryouts.
Yeah, they're having cheerleading. That's right. The Honey Bears are back. Honey Bears 2.
See, this is the multiverse. It's the multiverse. We could just check in alternate reality Bears right there.
I love the idea of alternate reality Bears, a.k.a. Bears 2. Like, Bears 2 is owned by a 25-year-old TikTok influencer. The exact opposite of, like, legacy 100-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
They have Travion Henderson, too.
Bears 2 is run by corporate money, who does care about... They actually have standings in the spreadsheets. It's not in the actual league. Bears 2 is a completely different concept.
Oh, it's amazing. They actually, the wild thing is Bears 2 drafted Shedeur Sanders. in the second round with one
Shedeur
of their,
Sanders yeah. is the Bears' two starting quarterback, right. actually.
He is playing defense. He is their kick returner. So they got a lot of respect, the Bears, too, do.
If you're wondering where this comes from, it was Mike Florio throwing out a theory that before the Bengals got appropriated funding, which was actually officially approved for their stadium for renovations, that the Bengals and Bears should combine efforts and have one single stadium. And that threw Grody and I into quite the tizzy.
Right, Bears 2.
Yeah, so then we just started talking about Bears 2 and how it was essentially the anti-Bears.
I got an idea Friday. I'm
You're
back
welcome
with you.
To join in on the fun.
Yeah, I think we should do a Bears 2 mock draft on Friday.
Yes! Yes! Bears 2 mock draft.
It's a rule 6 draft.
Does it have to be everybody who is available in this year's draft, or can you just draft other people?
No, that's why I'm saying it's like a rule 6, like rule 5 in baseball.
Oh,
rule
yeah.
6, so you could take players off of other teams. And I've mentioned a few of the players that they have. They did draft Tyler Warren because the Bears
won. Do they
won.
Draft Jalen Carter in this scenario?
Oh, yeah, that's a good... But no, because this is new. This is a brand new franchise, so they did not have a shot at it.
Okay.
But, yeah, they have Travion Henderson, they have Tyler Warren, and they have Shedeur Sanders, and we'll fill
and
in the rest.
Somehow they have salary cap.
Who's their
money?
Quarterback, though?
Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing about the Bengals' 9-8 season. Joe Burrow's discussion about him being an MVP candidate and the performance that he had this past year. Joe Burrow, at times, absolutely carried that team. I wouldn't even just say at times. If Caleb Williams has the type of season that Joe Burrow has, and the Bears end up going 9-8, and I have gone so far as to say that I, again, will double down on the Bears are better than a 9-win team this season. Perhaps that is wish casting, but I don't care. I'm just there in my feeling about this team at this point with this front office and how long they've been there. This should be the time. Like, you are making no excuses for your quarterback at this point. You've provided him with every possible resource that you can. I'd like to see a little more offensive line depth. I'd like to see a little bit more solid of a running back room. But point being, if that results in the same type of performance that we saw out of Joe Burrow last year, then I'm okay with it. But to take a zoom out look at it, in the fourth year of a front office with a 1-1 quarterback, you still can't make the playoffs? That's an issue.
So no good for you.
I can't be okay with it. You know, the only way I'm okay with it is if Caleb Williams has that type of season. And I don't know that that is realistic. I don't even think that's a realistic expectation to put on him, because this is the first year of a new offense for him.
If the Bears go 9-8 and they don't make the playoffs, awesome. Absolutely. I am 100% okay with this. Is a team that has had two 10-game losing streaks in the last 3 years. This is as close to rock bottom as the franchise has ever been. Last year was one of the worst seasons in Chicago Bears history. 5-12 and a 10-game losing streak where everything came undone in a year in which everything was supposed to be good. If you could have a winning record after that with a new head coach, with a first-year head coach, new players, a new defensive coordinator, new coaches, and a getting-to-know-you year, 9-8, I'll take. Let me just even go back here a little bit, Layla. Last 10 years, 2015, the Bears were 6-10. 2016, the Bears were 3-13. In 2017, the Bears were 5-11. 2018, how you doing, Matt Nagy? Good job. 12-4. In 2019, the Bears were 8-8. 2020, 8-8. 2021, 6-11. 2022, 3-14. 2023, 7-10. 2024, they were 5-12. 9-8, and if you do it the right way, like you said, with Caleb Williams looking good and promising, I'll take that every single day, and I won't look back.
Here's the problem. You just interpreted correctly the Bears with the Bears, but the issue shouldn't be where your bar is. The issue should be where the bar of the NFL is based on these timelines and these assets.
A 9-8 record, though, Layla, in that division, with Detroit, who's still better than you, with Minnesota, who's probably still better than you, with Green Bay Packers, who are still better than you, when you just look at what is happening right now, I take it, because that would probably mean wins in the division, too,
this
during
is not,
the year.
This is not a knock on J.J. McCarthy. It is a compliment of Caleb Williams when I say this. But the Bears had the chance to draft him. They still chose Caleb Williams. I can't predict that the Vikings won't have a setback when they're adjusting to a quarterback who missed his rookie season.
This
is his effective de facto rookie season. And until somebody figures out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think that he's starting in Minnesota. You know, he'd be a backup and maybe a counselor, veteran sounding board of some sort.
Their coaching is so good, though, in Minnesota. Look what they did to Sam Darnold. They gave Sam Darnold's career is back, and then some.
Just like I had faith in Shane Waldron because of what happened with Geno Smith, and I think that has more to do with Pete Carroll now, as we found out. I think there are a lot of really good quarterbacks in the NFL who get written off too quickly because they're just in the wrong system. Or they're with the wrong coach.
Well, that's just
there's a bigger shortage of good coaches, actual good coaches in the NFL, than there are capable quarterbacks. But here, you have a 1-1 quarterback, and you have what is considered the hottest coach in the coaching cycle, a very capable head coach. That has to stand for more than what we believe it to be because we observe the Bears. The standard has to be set to something else other than past history with this franchise.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking at the now, too. And when I look at the now, I say, it's pretty difficult. No matter how good Ben Johnson is, again, brand new head coach. We still don't even know if he can be a head coach. I think he's probably going to be pretty good at it, but we don't know that. We don't know if Colston Loveland's going to be good. We don't know if Luther Burden is going to be good. We don't know if Caleb Williams is going to take the next step.
But how long of a leash do these people get?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm talking about the front office with a lot of this. Think about their second pick in the draft. They didn't draft for need. They drafted what they considered the best available. So now you've got a receiver room again where you have all these assets. And we saw a quarterback last year struggle to figure out how to help them all, how to give them what we thought they were going to get with distribution, with targets, with yards, everything else.
So that wouldn't 9-8 feel pretty good if they would have put like you.
This
you
is
expect-
the fourth year of this front office. And if you'd keep telling me that they keep moving the goalposts when they've arguably gotten what is considered the things you need to be a successful team in the league, that is some sort of failure. I'm sorry.
Well, Kevin Warren moved the goalpost because he kept Ryan Poles here. If you want to go in that direction, like he said, you're allowed to start over. That's essentially what he has told Ryan Poles. We are also going to give you, though, the resources to go out and get Ben Johnson. You know, we're gonna let you get that guy and let him bring in his staff and bring all of the potential magic that comes with him. But they are telling the Ryan Poles, yeah, you do. We are giving you a fresh start. So that stuff that happened before, unfortunately, didn't matter to the Bears. Now, if it's another horrible year this year, then we got to talk, but we got to figure out what the reasons are that the Bears were bad this year. And so much of it comes down to the quarterback and Caleb Williams. It's so important that he takes that next step, and we don't know if he's going to.
It also comes down to how you built this team. The first year of Ryan Poles' draft was not a wash to me. You just prove that when you decide to extend Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
These are players that you're expecting to be a part of this when it is successful and online. And, you know, here we are talking about the 2018 season again because it is a good contrast to everything else. But I remember when we were trying to recreate that magic in the late stages of the Matt Nagy Ryan Pace combo. And I'm like, what magic are we even trying to recreate here?
2018.
This is a team that made poor decisions once the playoff game got there. The NFL was already finding out Matt Nagy's offense toward the end of the season, if you'll recall. That's why there had to be so many trick plays and goal line packages and gold go situations, because they were having trouble executing with traditional ways of scoring. And then hubris, I guess, is what prevented guys like Tariq Cohen from getting more touches in that game. It didn't just come down to a double doink, but because they got coach of the year and GM of the year, suddenly it was trying to recreate that over and over and over again when it should have been about the lens of just making the playoffs isn't good enough.
Yeah, Vic Fangio was the best coach of that year. Matt Nagy, he was brought in to figure out the offense, wasn't able to develop Mitch Trubisky, wasn't able to put together a running game. And guess what? The Bears defense was elite that year. For one shining year, the Bears defense was elite, and then it kind of just slid down after that.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I would argue also with the health of Khalil Mack. You saw the drop-off with that defense as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, for sure, Mack. I mean, you had some stalwarts on that team. I mean, Akeem Hicks is a guy that doesn't get talked about enough. He was just a total and complete badass. But, I mean, that era of...
He was a total and complete badass.
I will say that...
He had career years when he was with the Bears.
Yeah, I will say that both Ryan Pace and Ryan Poles... Both have done a pretty good job at building defenses, no doubt about it. But it's just not what, like, you need that, but it's the offense that this city has been looking for forever. And, you know, both GM, obviously Ryan Pace, ultimately failed to put together a representative offense. And now we're going to see if Ryan Poles can do it.
602, thank you. Agree with Layla. Commanders, new owner, coach, lots of new players. They should be the expectation. Danny from the Valley. Sometimes the text line breaks it up, so apparently the middle part of your text, which came after the other parts of your text, said, and look at their arrow, etc., and why can't the Bears make the playoffs? Yes, I understand you're in the toughest division in football, but I also understand that that means a lot of guys want to step it up because of it. You also got your head coach from the toughest division in football. Annie up. It's been time.
Yeah. Well,
and part of the reason we look at this team and if we say, why isn't this successful, you have to go back to wondering why they didn't build from the inside out, why you don't build from the lines first. I'm not talking about the decision to draft Caleb Williams. It's if we have this guy, why is this not working in a sustainable manner?
All worthwhile questions, for sure. And they kind of have done that, finally, the Bears, this year, with building the interior of their offensive line by drafting Ozzie Trapillo, and if you'd like to, a much lesser degree, Luke Newman. And then,
sure, Luke Newman can get some love in this.
Yeah, why not? He's a sixth rounder.
Newman.
It's like Kyle Manunga guy. This town,
we love Kyle Manunga.
This town loves a backup quarterback, and it loves a seventh round running back. It really does. Khalil Herbert was a hero when he came here.
Kyle Manunga.
Everybody
just
loves Manunga. Oh, he's going to be good. Let me tell you, Grody, he's going to be
forward
good.
Forward, and you'll get 2 yards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
I love this guy.
Stretch out your arms a little, and we'll be happy about
it. Oh, I think he's going to be good. Oh, yeah. He's old Grody. Come on, man. Look at this guy.
We should talk about this with James Big Cat Williams. He joins us at 1 o'clock.